Oh, thank you, Pastor. It's always an honor to stand behind a podium just to share the precious word of God. Because once again, I know what I once was, and a person with no hope. And I just thank God that He saved me right in the nip of time and in my young age. What I'm talking about this morning is God. The title of my message is God, the three P's. That we have purpose in God. That we have peace in God. And that God is our provider. My first scripture, my favorite scripture, I'm going to y'all know my favorite scripture. There it is. Jeremiah 29:11. Come on, Pastor. Jeremiah 29:11. First point, God has a purpose for our life. I mean, God is faithful. I mean, He's here, and well, praise God, just His presence is it's incredible. Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." God has a plan for each one of our lives. And that's a plan to prosper us. Yes, times get tough. But you know that He's there with us. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5 that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Once again, you have purpose in God. Jeremiah 1:5, one of my other favorite scriptures. The Word of God reads, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. At last, Sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I sent you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out His hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down and to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." I want to just focus on verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appoint you as a prophet to the nations. Even before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. Isn't that beautiful? God has His life ahead of us. We go in our own way. God gives us the free will. We choose which way we want. But the beautiful thing about God, that God's always pursuing us. God's always putting our people in our lives, families in our lives, to say, you know what? I'm watching over you, son. I'm watching over you, daughter. Why do you keep turning your back on me? I'm right here waiting for you to come to me. Because once again, God has a purpose for us. But we have a free will. Do you want to go after God? Or do you want to continue experiencing life without God? Because experiencing life without God, it's a life of destruction. It's a life that leads to no end. But once again, God is so merciful, God is so faithful, that He continues to pursue us. That's a loving God. That's a loving Father. That's the God that I want to serve. I don't want to continue going in my own way, continue experiencing heartache after heartache. God's not a God that's going to hurt you. God's not out there to hurt you. Because once again, He's a God of purpose. Philippians 1:6, I'm just going to quote it. The Bible says that he's faithful to complete the work he has started in us. That's the beautiful thing about God, that we get saved. But, you know, God's always doing something in our lives. And Pastor shares this a lot, that he got saved so many times at camp. You know, but God was doing a work in his heart. And my life personal as well, I'll go to camp, I'll get saved, and I'll continue coming home. I'm going back to my old ways. But, you know, but when God really gets a hold of you, you will know that you're not the same person. But you see, you don't have to tell the world. People will see a change in you already. Amen. Be yourself. One thing I saw in Bible school was a lot of phoniness. A lot of people can quote scriptures, but don't say, but look at your lifestyle, bro. And it's the truth, you know what I mean? But what really helped me was serving the Lord in my former church at Bread Life Mission, and when I got saved here. It started here. God was always knocking in my heart. You know, and I thank God that I responded. And I'm never going to look back. I pray to God that he helped me. You know, because it does get tough. But just knowing the simple fact, once again, knowing what I was once, a young man that was hurting, needed purpose. Some examples in the Bible, Bible characters that God saw purpose in them. Moses, he told God, no, I can't speak. I can't speak in front of people. But that's relevant with Christ. An example, Saul to Paul. Saul would kill Christians. On his road to Damascus, his life changed because he encountered God Almighty. And he suffered a great deal. But you know what? He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And to this day, we talk about him. Because God had purpose in him. And he got a hold of God. Esther said, let me go to Esther 4:16. Esther 4:16, the Word of God reads, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat, drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. For her to even say that. And if I perish, I perish. She was all in for God. Once again, because she knew that the God had a purpose for her life. Ruth, she became the lineage of Jesus Christ. You know, all these characters that you read in the Bible, they had a purpose in their lives. Maybe they just came out one time in the Bible, but it's because they had a purpose in Christ. That person that prayed for Paul to receive his sight. That was the only time that he came out in the Bible. But he was faithful to God. He heard from God, had a purpose. Peace, my second point for today. Hebrew term for God is shalom. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. The Word of God reads, Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came upon the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Once again, verse 24. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. He was at peace. even if everything else was around them all reckless, out of control. But Jesus was asleep. He was at peace. That's symbolic to our lives. Maybe everything else around us is chaotic. It's like, I don't know where to turn. But deep down in your heart, if you have the peace that, you know what, God, you're going to take care of it. Because some things, some problems, are, we can't change them. The only one that can do a change is God Almighty. And my aunt said something that I never forgot, my aunt from Mission. She said, you know what, mijo? La única persona que puede cambiar a alguien es Dios. The only person that can change somebody is God. And it's like, I was thinking about it. You know what, Tia, you're right. Because sometimes, you know, we try to change other people, but in reality, we got to let God change our hearts. God, change me. And I know I need a lot of work still. But I told God, help me, Lord. One thing I'm learning about ministry, that the sooner you get closer to your call, it's tougher. But I'm holding on. Because I know God has a plan for all of us. But Jesus was asleep. Peace. Maybe this week you've had a week of hell. I don't know. Only you know. But I want to encourage you this morning that God is with you. He's with you. He's got your back. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of your family. Because God is a God of peace. And He ain't going to let you down. Because we serve the best, best God. We serve the best, best Father. He got your back. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. We need His peace. We need Him every day of life. It's again, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgivings, present your request to God. Anxious, ansioso. I mean, sometimes we worry, right? Let's be honest, right? Bible also says in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. God knows what you need. You know what? I want to have His peace in my heart when tough times get tough. But you know what? I know that You're going to take care of it. I remember a time, share a little personal here. When my grandmother passed away, the grandmother que me recogió de 2 meses, like, raised me, I was 2 months old. It was time that she passed away. But I just felt the peace. Like, you know what, God? She's in a better place. I felt the peace. Because it was getting tougher because she was in the nursing home for 4 years. And I was breaking down. My aunt told me, you got to be strong for me, mijo. Was it so hard? Yeah, but always coming to see my grandmother, my mother. Seeing their suffering, must die in la cama. But going back to the peace, I felt the peace. you know what? Okay, God. And I felt that peace last summer too when I was taking my state exam. Thank God I finally got through that exam. That once I finished taking that exam, I felt the peace come upon me. Okay, God, I know it's in your hands. The peace of God, if I can be truthful to you all this morning, that's the best feeling in the world. Because you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that God is with you, that no matter what, whatever circumstance you're going through this morning, I want to share with you, encourage you, He's with you. But that peace, like His presence, it's no better feeling than that. No better high than that in the world. Nothing in the world will compare to His peace, to His presence. John chapter 16, verse 32. And I thank God my grandmother, one day I'll meet her again. A short fireball. No se dejaba de nadie. John chapter 16, verse 32. Verse 31. I'm starting verse 31. Do you now believe? Jesus replied. Verse 32. A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. There it is, that word trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Thank you, Jesus. He has overcome the world. The Word of God also reads in 1 John 4:4, greater is He that lives in me than he who lives in the world. The Bible also says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a standard against it. His word is so rich. Once again, let me read that again. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. We don't like to hear that word, but there it is. But take heart, I have overcome the world, and that's Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. My first two points, God has a purpose for each one of us. God gives us a peace that no matter what we're going through, we know without a shadow of a doubt that He's going to see us through it. A peace. Not what the world gives, but what the peace that God gives us through His Holy Spirit. That He's going to take care of it. But that's why we need God every day. We can't live this life on our own strength. My third point, that God is our provider. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 10. The Word of God reads, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not room enough to store it. Once again, and when it says test me, this is the only time in the Bible that it says to test them. Verse 11, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. So again, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, which is the church, that there may be food in my house. Another name for God, Jesus, is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. God doesn't need our money. What God needs is our obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22 reads that obedience is better than sacrifice. God wants our obedience. The Bible says to test them in giving. But once you do it out of a heart that's grateful, God, this belongs unto you. I thank you, Lord, for my job. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my health. And God will multiply it. Luke 6:38.
I think Mark, Luke. I am your father. Sorry. Luke 6:38.
It's hard for me to be serious.
Luke 6:38.
I wish my class can be this quiet. Oh, I'm asking too much. Okay, here we go.
Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Once again, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Give. I don't know only about money, but give of your time. God requires 10% to give, but it's 10% of your time too. Spending time with Him outside of church, reading His Word, spending time with Him in prayer and giving are four principles of our church. God requires that. But you know, we live in a society that's so fast-paced, we want things now. But you know, God is to be patient, and that's hard. Once again, God is our provider. God has a purpose for us. God has a peace that the world does not give, and He is our provider. 2 Kings 4. I'm coming to the end now. 2 Kings 4:1. 2 Kings 4:1. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord." Tongue twister. "But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Verse 2. Elijah replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Verse 3. Elijah said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask just for a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, pull it to one side." Verse 5. So he left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There's not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. Verse 7. She went and told the man of God and said, "Go and sell the oil, pay all your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." God is our provider. God provided for this woman. She says she had nothing but a little jar of oil, right? Verse 4, let me read that again. Verse 2, I'm sorry. Elijah replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me what you have in your house. Your servant has nothing there at all." She said, "Except the small jar of olive oil." Elijah said, "Go around and ask your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few." God is a God of multiplication. God is your provider. Whatever you're going through this morning, I just want you to know that God has a purpose for you and your family. God will give you the peace not what the world gives. And God is your provider, and He will take care of your family. He will take care of you. He ain't going to leave you hanging. You could take that to the bank, like they say. God will take care of you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging for bread. Can we just please bow our heads and close our eyes? That's my message this morning. Short to the point. God is your provider. He will take care of you and your family. He will give you that peace, not what the world gives, but what He Himself gives.